Okay, we're out here on the campaign trail again. I'm here with Senator April Power, and it's -1 degrees. It's Wednesday evening. It's freezing, and she's out canvassing. Good evening, Senator Power. Welcome to Near FM. Thanks for joining us.
Good evening, Conor.
Fair play to you coming out on a night like this. It's, you know,
it's really baltic.
However, you know, I'm sure there are other teams out there as well. But you know, fair play to you. So, just to catch up with you on, you know, different things. Obviously, there's a few things that you're campaigning on, and I've obviously had a look at your website and that. Things that obviously have cropped up are Beaumont and the healthcare. What's your answer to it?
Well, I think that's the number one issue. It's certainly the biggest issue that people have been raising with me right across the constituency, especially those who've had personal experience of the A&E in Beaumont. I think there's no simplistic answer. You know, certainly there is a need for a new A&E there. The Beaumont A&E was built decades ago for a fraction of the people who are going through it at the minute, so it's a very cramped space. But moreover, there's a need to take people out of A&E who don't need to be there. So the reason why often after people are admitted to A&E and told that they need to stay in hospital and they need a hospital bed, the reason why they're stuck in A&E for 2 or 3 days is because there's no beds elsewhere in the hospital to be able to move them to a ward. And that's because there are up to 100 people there all the time who are fit to be discharged either to a nursing home or to home with supports, with home care supports, but those services aren't there. So you have people who'll be better off at home, who prefer to be at home, provided they can have nursing support and care visits, but who are stuck in A&E. And that's just crazy because the cost of it, costs €6,000 a week to have somebody in a bed in Beaumont, you know, and it costs a fraction of that for them to be in a nursing home, about $1,200 in a nursing home, and less for home care. So I think there's a need. Yes, there's a need for more investment in some areas. As I said, there is a need for better physical space. But, you know, a lot of the problems in the health service could be solved just by reconfiguration and making sure the money is spent better in other areas.
Right, okay. So that's kind of...
I think it's dreadful that we've now got to a situation where Beaumont A&E is so bad that people tell me they're afraid to go there. And I find that particularly upsetting. An elderly lady I was talking to during the week, who said to me that, you know, she'd rather die at home than go to Beaumont.
Okay.
And I think in a first world country, for people to say that and to feel that they're afraid to go to a hospital, I just think is totally unacceptable. And that's where I would differ with particularly the government parties. You know, the Fine Gael in the election, it's all about the economy and taxation and things like that. But I mean, what's, you know, they're talking about the recovery, but what kind of recovery is there?
Yeah, so that's what you're, you know, I kind of just say to our listeners that I've been out for the last half an hour with Avril, and, you know, the people you've talked to, certainly that seems to have been coming across a lot of the people that have opened their doors, that's what they've kind of mentioned to
so
you.
So that's my number one priority. And as an independent, if I'm elected as an independent TD, I won't support any government that's not prepared to build a new A&E in Beaumont and address the A&E crisis there, the healthcare crisis in the area.
Okay, can we move on? Because you were very powerful about the adoption bill. And where, like, I presume that's now fallen now, has it, or has just stalled?
As you know, I was adopted myself, so this issue is very close to my heart. Adopted people in the UK for the last 30 years have had a right to their birth certs, which gives you your parents' original names and then entitlement to say your medical history and things like that. I remember when I was in college and I was diagnosed with a lump on my breast, which thankfully was benign. It wasn't cancer, but I had to get it taken off. And I remember the doctor asking me, is there a history of breast cancer in your family? And when I had to tell him I didn't know, that was pretty frightening. You don't know if every woman in your family has died from, or if there's other serious illnesses that you should be guarding against. So when I was elected to the Senate, I'm lucky in that I do know. It took me a long time to find my mother. It took me about 10 years. But when I do know and now have a relationship with my mum and my two half-sisters.
Very good.
And
half-brother,
and that's great. But when I was elected to the Senate, I think I mentioned in a debate that I was adopted and that I had found my family and it was a positive experience for me. And I started getting letters from all over the country, letters and emails from other adopted people, from natural parents, particularly elderly women who had their sons and daughters taken from them years ago and don't know where they are. So I felt that as an adopted person and as a politician that I should use my personal experience and my role in the Senate to change that and to give us a system akin to that where they have in the UK. So I brought forward a bill I published it as just one individual member, and I got two independent senators to second it with me. And then I spent months building cross-party support. So it came before the Senate last year and passed with unanimous support, which is
brilliant.
Quite rare.
I
was delighted with that. Unfortunately, it didn't make it into the Dáil before the general election. So that's one of the reasons why I want to be elected to the Dáil, is to make sure that it gets through the Dáil, because there are 50,000-60,000 adopted people in Ireland and their natural parents. And I think it's a great cruelty that people to this day still don't know, who they really are or anything about their family history or anything like that.
Yeah. So you get re-elected or elected to the Dáil. That's one of the another thing that you want to progress grant. And then, of course, you were heavily involved with the marriage equality and getting that passed.
Yeah.
Do you see that as a help or a hindrance going around the constituency? Because it is a very imparse conservative constituency. Do you think that people recognise that, or is this?
Well, look, I took the decision on marriage equality. That was something that I personally felt very strongly about. I have a lot of gay friends, and I think they should be entitled to the same rights as anybody else. And I knew in doing that that could cost me some support. I certainly had colleagues in Leinster House who told me the reason they weren't canvassing for a yes vote was because they were afraid that it would alienate people or they'd lose votes for the general election. Personally, I think the reason that, you should be in politics is to actually achieve change and to stand up on issues that you care about. So I knocked on, doors all across the constituency. Some areas were more difficult than others, more conservative than others. But, I got out and I made a case, and to people, we got a great result in this area in the end. It was overwhelmingly passed. Since then, some people have told me that they won't vote for me because they disagreed with me on that issue. Others have told me that, that they voted no, but they respected the fact that at least I said where I was coming from, that other politicians and even in media interviews since have refused to say if they voted yes or if they voted no.
Okay.
And I think people are just frustrated and fed up with that kind of politics. I think my experience is that, even if people disagree with you on an issue, they respect the fact that you're honest and that you take a stand, and they know where you're coming from.
Okay. Okay.
And I also was canvassing there recently in Clare Hall, and I met a lovely couple. I have two women, and one of them called out to her son and said, "Sean, come meet the lady who helped make us a family." So that's one of my highlights of this campaign. I've met other lesbian and gay couples for whom it mattered an awful lot, and it was a privilege for me to work on that campaign and play a small part.
Okay, now of course the other thing then is the whole housing issue and homelessness.
Yeah.
How do you see that being solved? Either short term or long term.
I think the solution is supply. The biggest problem at the minute is that we're just not building enough houses. And I think that's extraordinary. When we had an above in this country, we built social housing all over Ireland, huge tracts of this constituency were council estates. And I think it's just bizarre that in 2016 the government can't get its act together and do that. You have empty NAMA units around the place that aren't being taken on board. There are boarded up houses right across this constituency. I see that when I'm walking around council areas, that there are houses that are boarded up and not occupied. While you have families, you've people out on the street, you have families sleeping with the entire family in one room in a B&B. So I think there's a need to increase supply, but particularly supply of public housing. And I think what we've seen over the last few years is this ideological issue where governments have decided that housing is something that should be left to the private market. I don't agree. I think if you look at other parts of the world, for example, this is an area that I have an interest in. I've read quite a bit about. Singapore is a very capitalist country, one of the tiger economies.
Yes, would be, yes.
But the vast majority of people live in public housing.
All right,
90%.
Okay.
So they still have private housing, and you can opt for a private house if you wish, but over 90% of people live in public housing.
Right.
And that is everything from the state builds everything from a bed sit for a student up to a four-bedroom family home.
So you think that kind of model
have
would
a different psychology
could actually work
here? They see housing as something that's a public good, just like education or healthcare or other public services, and not just about wealth creation or somewhere for developers to make money. And I think we need to, rethink ourselves and say, what kind of country are you if, you've seen Sinn Féin and others, the economy's recovering and, we're doing great, but you've got 1,600 children in Dublin who are homeless tonight.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, that kind of leads on then to things like, I suppose, the water charges and stuff like that. What's your stance on that?
I voted against the water charges in the Senate. I've been consistent on that since the start.
Okay.
I think the whole thing has just been extraordinary debacle. The legislation was pushed through The Dáil and Seanad within a few hours, very complex legislation. Actually, the entire opposition walked out together in protest at the process, that the government just didn't debate it, consider it. And I think since then we've seen it just unravel piece by piece. And we've now got to a point where they're losing money on it. It's actually costing us money, and there's less money being spent on fixing pipes and things like that than there were a few years ago. So I think the whole rationale for it is gone. And then I have, you know, you've constituents, people across the constituency as well affected by, say, issues like lead pipes, where the government has announced a grant scheme, but it only covers some of the costs. And people saying to me, well, what's the point of Irish Water if I'm paying my water bill and don't have drinkable water? And the government saying that to replace the pipes, that if you're over a certain income, that you're on your own, that it's up to you to replace it. So I think it just doesn't add up.
Okay. And I suppose things like, as an independent, you know, your influence over this whole idea of the Special Criminal Court. Do you think, you know, because I know you've a diploma in law and stuff like that.
Yeah.
How would you equate the Special Criminal Court with that?
Well, I mean, I think we saw in the collapse of the Limerick gang trials a few years ago that it's not reasonable to expect ordinary people to testify against major gangland criminals in a normal trial or to serve on a jury. That case collapsed because people just wouldn't serve on the jury. You know, and this is where I would have a very strong difference of opinion, say, for example, with Sinn Féin. I saw Gerry Adams has suggested that, you know, people could go into witness protection. But, you know, you're asking the people, the honest, decent citizens, to go and, you know, uproot their lives and be sent off to Australia or Canada or America or somewhere else for doing their civic duty. I just don't think that's reasonable. And I think, you know, if we're going to win the war against these guys, that you have to make sure the legal system is stacked in favour of justice. And in fact, stacked in favour of the ordinary person rather than the criminals. And I think the Special Criminal Court has a very important role to play there. Now, there's also a need, obviously, for more Garda resources. And, you know, it's put the government in the wake of the recent shootings has set up a new armed Garda unit in Dublin. But unfortunately, that has meant that they've taken 50 Garda out of stations and off their normal beat. And one of the things that I've noticed as well from canvassing, knocking on doors the last few weeks is the number of people, and particularly elderly people across the constituency, who won't open the door. And that has increased dramatically compared to 5 years ago. So, I mean, the election in 2011 was also in the winter. It was dark in the evenings, but a lot more people were comfortable coming to the door.
Right, okay.
And I think there's a real sense of fear, and that's because the Gardaí in our local stations have been decreased dramatically. And it's just not that community presence anymore of Gardaí.
Okay, that they don't feel safe in their own home nearly, or answering the door.
You know,
the dark.
And I think that's a shame, you know, people don't, what do you have in life if you don't actually feel
exactly,
safe at home?
Exactly, okay. Now, of course, the burning question is, you get elected to the Dáil, and I'm not allowed to comment on that, but you get elected, it's a hung Dáil, you get a call from the Taoiseach or Micheál Martin, you know, to say, what are your red lines, what are your, you know, what's your shopping list? And that's a question I ask every independent.
Well, my overall priority would be to ensure that we don't just grow the economy, but we also rebuild our public services. I think the economy is recovering on a global level, and that's positive, but our public services have been decimated. As I said, people are even afraid to go to Beaumont, A&E, the lack of Gardaí on the streets, the cuts for children with special needs, older people who can't make ends meet with all the extra charges coming out of their pension. So my priority would be to build a fairer society, and that would only support a government that had that as its broad thrust.
Right.
And then within that, as I've said, I won't support any government that's not prepared to deal with the A&E crisis, in particular in Beaumont Hospital. We have the most overcrowded A&E in Dublin, one of the worst in the country. And it's just not acceptable to me in 2016 that you would leave patients, particularly people in their 80s and 90s, sitting on chairs or trolleys for 2 or 3 days. It's not good enough in a first world country to have those conditions. Other A&Es have seen investment. You know, Brendan Howland, our Minister for Public Expenditure, in charge of the money. They have a new A&E in Wexford. There's a new one in Limerick, where Michael Noonan is from, but not in this area.
Right, okay.
You know, and I think it's about time that the politicians in this area made that a priority and stood up for people.
So, the question I have to ask you, would you go and vote with Micheál Martin and Fianna Fáil?
As I said, my priority would be to ensure that, you know, my policy priorities are implemented.
Okay.
You know, it's not personal.
It's a professional.
It's about seeing what's right for the country.
Okay.
That would be my priority.
Okay.
And ensuring that we both have this ability that we need for economy, but also fairness as well.
Okay. Well, April, as I say to all the candidates, the very best of luck with your campaign. It doesn't mean that I favour anybody, but just to, fair play to you for going out in a light like this with your team. And thanks for talking to us on NearPem. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Connor.